All right, Tavos, let's get started. So we left off Chof Zayin Amud Beis. Chof Zayin Amud Beis, last three lines. V'hayotze min ha'etz, eino mitame tumas olim ela pishtan. So remember again, the Mishnah said that anything that comes from a tree is not mitame tumas olim except for flax. And I remember Rashi pointed out what this means is the following. When we speak about tumas ohel, we normally refer to the fact that if there is a dead body under a roof, anything that's under that same roof with a dead body also becomes tamei. Now, the one part that the Mishnah brings up, which is very interesting, is that we take it for granted ever that the roof does not become tamei. The roof itself doesn't become tamei. So now what the Mishnah is saying is like this. Is that halacha lemaisa hayotzi min ha'etz enu metamei tumas olim? Normally, anything that comes from a tree, and we've already pointed out yesterday that tree doesn't mean tree, rather tree means plant. Right, anything that comes from plant or tree life will also not contract tumah if it's made into a roof. So if you have a roof of some type of plant-like substance and there's a mace underneath the roof itself will not become tameh except for pishtan. Pishtan does become, flax does become tameh. So the Gemara says, Minalan, where do we know this from? Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gomar Ohel Ohel Mi Mishkan. We learn out the Gzeirah Shavah of Ohel Ohel from Mishkan. Now, before we go on, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. It's actually the last Rashi in Chaf Zayin Amud Beis, and it's actually the Rashi in the Mishnah. But let's just read it for just a moment. Rashi Ela Pishtan, Sha'af Ohel Tamei, Sha'af Ohel Tamei. So now what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you have a roof that is made out of flax, and there's a dead body underneath that roof, not only will all the kelim underneath the roof become Tamei, but what? But the roof itself becomes tamei. So Rashi points out over here, Sha'af Ohel Tamei Kidichsiv, Vihiza Al Ha'ohel. The Gemara Yalit Vepishal Mishleikra. So Rabbi said, what's interesting is the following. In the Pasuk concerning Paraduma, which speak about the idea of going ahead and being mitahir, right? We take the offer, the ashes of the Paraduma, mix it with spring water, we sprinkle that. So the Torah uses the lashon of Vihiza Al Ha'ohel. You will sprinkle on the ohel. Now, the truth is, the way you would think this is, he's all normally refers to the items in the ohel. The Gemara is teaching that it also refers to the ohel itself. Also to the ohel itself, to the actual roof of the enclosure. So what the Gemara is going to point out is the following. Things that are called ohel are going to be required to become tahor through the sprinkling of the Eifar Paraduma. Or in other words, things that are called Ohel can ultimately contract Tumah as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gamar Ohel Ohel Mi Mishkan, Tap of Chavchas. We have a Gzir Shav Ohel Ohel from Mishkan. Ksif HaAcha, it says over here, Zos Torah Sa'adav Ki Yamos Bo Ohel. So the Torah says by Parah Aduma, that it says, this is the Torah of a person if he dies in Ohel. Uksif Hasam, and it says over there by the Mishkan, Vayifros es ha'ohel al ha'mishkan. That literally they spread the ohel on the Mishkan. Okay, so the Gemara says, Ma'la halon shal pishtim karoi ohel. Just like by the Mishkan, flax is called an ohel. Afkan shal pishtan karoi ohel. So to a para aduma, flax is also called ohel. Now I'll say, just to tell you a little bit about the Mishkan. This is an important point. The Mishkan had three layers of coverings, right? Remember, the Mishkan did not have a fixed roof, obviously, because it had to be portable. There were three layers of coverings. So the bottom layer, which we're going to see is on the Gemara, I'm just telling you this now, makes it a little bit clearer as we go forward. So the bottom layer was woven flax and wool. Bottom layer, woven flax and wool. The layer above that was goat hair, and the layer above that was animal skins. So now, the Gemara is specifically focusing on the bottom layer, which was the flax. Goat hair, and then the top one, animal skins. So we're really not going to talk about the goat hair as much. We're going to talk about the bottom one and the top one the most. So the Gemara says over here like this. So we make a gzeirah shavah. It says, by para aduma, that you'll have to go ahead and sprinkle the water on the ohel. That's not the pasuk it talks over here, but that's the pasuk that Rashi is referring to. So it says, so by Parah Aduma it says that an item that's called an ohel could in fact contract tumah. And it says by the Mishkan, when they put on the first layer of the roof, it also calls, by Yifros Esha Ohel Ala Mishkan, it calls the bottom layer of the woven flax and wool Mishkan as well. Ma'la halon shal pishtan karui ohel. Just like by the Mishkan, the ohel is, or I should say, the pishtan, the flax is called ohel. Afkan, so to by Para Aduma, Shapishtan Karoi Ohel. So we'll say from here, Rabbi Elazar wants to suggest that halacha lemaisa, a roof of Pishtan, is subject to a ritual impurity, and therefore were to there to be a mace underneath this roof, not only would you have to be entire all the kelim under the roof, but you'd have to be entire the roof itself. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, imal lahalan shezurin v'chutan kafel vav, afkan shezurin v'chutan kafel vav. So the Gemara says, well, one second, if you're going to make a comparison to the Mishkan, then let's make the comparison all of the way. Which means the flax roof in the Mishkan was number one, shizurin, which means it was twisted thread, which means on both sides that each thread was made of multiple other threads. And not only that, chutan kafel vav. Chutan kafel vav means each thread was sixfold, which means that the weaving of the Mishkan was very thick weaving. So the Gemara said, if that's the case, why don't you say that the same would apply for any type of flaxen roof? That just like the flaxen roof of the Mishkan had this twisted thread, the thread was sixfold folded over. So, in order for a Pishtan roof to go ahead and become day, you should have these qualities also. To which the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Ohel, Ohel, Riba. To which the Gemara says, well, the fact that the Pasuk says Ohel twice indicates that it's coming to include something additional. What's the additional thing that it's coming to include? That even regular flax, that's not braided like the way it was done in the Mishkan, is also subject to Tumah. So the Gemara says, one second, E, Ohel, Ohel, Riba, Afilu Kol Milinami. But maybe the Riboy of Ohel, Ohel, when the Torah says the word Ohel, Ohel, Ohel twice, maybe it's coming to include other types of roofs other than flax. To which the Gemara says, Im Kain, Gezeir Shava, Maya Hanila. Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that Ohel, Ohel is coming to go ahead and include other types of roofs, then what exactly do we gain from the Gzeira Shava? So the Gemara says, Ve'ima, ma lahalan krushin, afkam krushin. So the Gemara says, but why don't you say over there, just like by the Mishkan, there were krushin, there were boards. So too over here, boards would become tame as well. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Afkan krushin, ve'ima de'etz nami ikri Ohel. So the Gemara says like this. Well, you know that with the Mishkan, it wasn't just the roof that was called an Ohel, it was the structure that was called an Ohel also. So why don't you say the following? The walls of the Mishkan were made from wood. So why don't you say that under normal circumstances, if you have a roof that's made of wood, that should also contract Tumah? Amakra va'asisa krushim le'mishkan. Therefore, the Pasuk says, you will make krushim for the Mishkan. Krushim means the boards. Mishkan karui mishkan. A mishkan is called the mishkan. Ve'in krushim karuyin mishkan. But the boards themselves are not called the mishkan. Or in other words, Rabosai, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the krushim are never given a roof-like identity. The krushim are just called the krushim. The whole gezeira shav is predicated on the ohel, ohel, ohel link. Ohel, ohel ultimately refers to the roof. The krushim are never called by this name, and therefore you can't include them. Ela me'ata va'asisa michse la'ohel. Aye, but one second, so why don't you say, but the Pasuk says, you will make a covering for the Ohel. Hachanami michsi lo ikri Ohel. So the Gemara says, so look at Rashi for just a moment, Rabbosai. So the Gemara says, Hachanami, de michse oros lav Ohel, u le'inyan tuma nami lo mikabel. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, that you're going to tell me that in Krushim Kruyin Mishkan, that the idea is that only things that are mamish called Ohel can be included in this Gzeir Shavah, but things that are not called Ohel cannot be included. So what do you do with the fact that the Torah says the following? El me'ata v'asisa michse le'ohel. Now the Pasuk over here says that you'll go ahead and you'll make a covering for the Ohel. This is talking about the animal skins, right? This is the third, I guess it depends where you're counting from. It's the top covering that was made from animal skins. So the Torah says, you'll make a covering for the Ohel. Hachanami michse lo ikri Ohel. So the Gemara says, well, one second. The fact that covering is called a michse and is not called an Ohel, maybe that should also exclude it from the Gzeir Shava, and tell you what, that maybe the covering of animal skins should not be subject to the laws of Tumah. To which the Gemara says, Hachanami Michzilu Ella Hadibai Rabbi Elazar or Behema Tameya Mahushi Tame Ba'ohel Amis. So Bosa, that's why the Gemara says, that's why Rabbi Elazar actually asked the question, that does the skin of a Behema Tameya become Tame with Ohel Amis? Now Bosa, let's just establish what we have so far. We have over here the Mishnah telling us that if you make a roof of Pishtan, that becomes tamei. If there's a mace underneath it, not only do all the stuff underneath the roof become tamei, but the roof itself becomes tamei. Rabbi Lo says, where do we get this from? We get this from Gzeira Shav of Ohel, from Mishkan. From Mishkan, that the Torah by Paraduma says anything that's an Ohel becomes tamei. By the Mishkan, the covering of the flax is called an Ohel. And therefore, again, just like flax by the Mishkan is called an Ohel, so too flax by Paraduma is called an Ohel, which ultimately means that a flax roof could go ahead and become tamei. So the Gemara says, I'm going to skip the Krushim for just a moment right now. But the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then in order to become tamei, it has to be called an Ohel. Then what do you do about the upper layer of animal skins? Because the upper layer of animal skins is not called an ohel. The upper layer of animal skins is called what? A michsa, a covering. Is that to tell me, therefore, that it's not subject to tumah? So the Gemara says, the truth is, this is what urged Rabbi Lazar to ask the following question. So Rabbi Lazar asked, or behema tenea, mahu sheyitma ba'ohel ameis. If you have a roof or a covering of behema tenea, of the skin of a non-kosher animal, does that become tamei? Does that become tamei if it's on top of an ohel ameis? So the Gemara says, well, one second. Hashta or behema tahora lo mitame. So now, if you say that the skin of a kosher animal does not become tamei, or behema tamei amiboy, right? Then would the skin of a non-kosher animal even be asked? See, Rabosai, remember that the skin of a non-kosher animal wasn't even used in the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, shiny hasam, the hader ahadre kra dichsiv, v'nasu es yirios ha-mishkan, v'es ohel moed, michsehu, u'michseh ha-tachash asher alov. So Rabosai, there the Gemara says, no, there's a different way you learn it out. The Torah, when discussing the travel of the, of the Mishkan, says that they will carry the boards of the Mishkan and the Ohel Moed, its covering, and the covering of the Tachash that was on top of it. Now, Michsehu, the covering, refers to what? The bottom flax covering. And then it also says, and the upper covering, Tachash, we'll discuss what the Tachash was in just a moment, but the Tachash was an animal, and the upper covering made from the Tachash. So the Gemara says, what do you see from here? Makish elyon l'tachton. It compares the upper covering, right, of the animal skins, to the bottom covering of flax. Ma tachton karui ohel, just like the bottom covering is called an ohel, right, that's the bottom covering of the flax. Af elyon karui ohel, so to the upper covering made of animal skins is also called an ohel. So the Gemara essentially says that we see from here that even though you can't make the ohel gzeir shava by the upper covering, because the Torah doesn't use the upper covering, or doesn't use the word ohel in regard to the upper covering, but nevertheless the fact that the Torah compares the upper covering of the animal skins to the lower covering of flax tells us that just like flax can become tamei, so too animal skins can become tamei as well. But now the Gemara is going to go back and discuss a little bit more. Gufa, boy Rabbi Elazar, or behema tenea, mahu sheyitma tumas ohalim. So also now the Gemara goes back to this. If you have the skin of a non-kosher animal, and you're using it as a roof, do those skins become tamei? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, "My kami boile." What exactly is the question over here? Amrav adabar ava tachash. Look at Rashi for just a moment. My kami boile ha mishkan gamer la Rabbi Elazar leel bereish maitin vahasim tahorihi dahavi lemelechas hamishkan. So the Gemara is asking, why are you asking this question? Because Rabbi Osai, the proof text that we have for a roof made of animal skins was in the Mishkan, and the Gemara assumes over there that was made of kosher animals. So therefore, the only biblical precedent we have for a roof of animal skins becoming tamei is what? Is of kosher animals. So why does the Shaila even come up? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. My coming brother, Amar Rav Ada bar Ava, Tachash Shahaya Bimot Bime Moshe Kami Boile. You know why? Because here's what we know about saying. We know that the upper cover of the Mishkan was a combination of skins. It was Elim Ma'adamim, so it was made from the skins of rams that were reddened. The skin itself was reddened. And Tachash hide. The question is, what was the Tachash? What was the Tachash? Tamei Hoya? O Tahor Hoya? So the Gemara says there's a little bit of ambiguity as to what kind of animal the Tachash was. Was the Tachash a Tamei animal or a Tahor animal? Amar Rav Yosef, Mai Tiboile. What's the question? Tanina, we've already learned, lo hochshru l'melechas shamayim, ela ar behema tahora bilvad. We've already learned that you could only use kosher animals in the creation of the Mishkan. Masa tachash must have been, I will say the problem that we have is, we don't have an animal called a tachash. Right? We don't have a masorah for what the tachash was. We'll see why in just a moment. So the Gemara is struggling with this, so the Gemara is kind of backing into this and says, well, we know we can't use anything other than kosher products in the creation of the Mishkan, so it must have been that the tachash was a kosher animal. Massive Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba raised the following question. Rabbi Huda Omer, shnei michsaos hayu. There were two coverings. Echad shel oros elim adam. Now when he says two coverings, what he means is that the upper covering was made of two different coverings that were stuck together. The coverings themselves were made of panels. Because remember, it was too big to make it of one big piece. So they made up individual panels, I guess is the right word. Panels. Swatches. I'm sorry?
Swatches.
What's a swatch? Okay, swatches. Pieces. That's the technical term. Right? Swatches of different fabric or different lengths, and they were then sewn together afterwards. So that's what he says over here. When he says it was two. So, Echad Shal Oros Ilim Adamim. There was one of reddened ram skin. The Echad Shal Oros Tachashim. And one part of it was made of the skin of Tachashim. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer Michsa Echad Haya. V'dome Kimin Tala Ilan. Rabbi Nechemiah says that it was really one covering, and it was made like, and looked like, the skin of the Tala Ilan. Now we'll say, what's the Tala Ilan? Rashi says, Chaya Teneahi. So the Rashi doesn't define what it is, but here's what we know, is that it's a Chaya Teneah, it's an animal that's a Chaya, which means it's a non-domestic animal. That's Teneah. Uminumeres Begavanan. And it's spotted. It's a multicolored animal. So the Gemara says, Vaha Tala Ilan Tamehu. Now, interesting enough, the Gemara at first takes the same thing quite literally and says that when it looked like Tala Ilan means that the Tachashim, the Tachash animal, was an animal like the Tala Ilan, which would seem to indicate that what? That the Tachash was a treif animal, it was an non-kosher animal. To which the Gemara says, no. Ha'chi ka'amar, kamin Tala Ilan hu, shi'esh bo gabnin arbe. This Tachash was like a Tala Ilan in that what? It was a spotted and multicolored animal. Velo Tala Ilan, but it was not a Tala Ilan, the Iloha Samtame Bahachatar, because the Tala Ilan is not kosher, but the Tachash was kosher. Amar Rabbi Yosef Ihachi, Hainu Dimitar Gaminan Sasguna. So Rabbi Yosef says, this makes sense now why the Targum, the Aramaic translation for the word Tachash, is Sasguna. What does Sasguna mean? Shasas Vigavanin Harbe. It's an animal that rejoices in its many colors. It's interestingly enough, the Aramaic translation of the word tachash is sasgunin, which seems to be a description of the fact that the animal itself has multiple colors. Rava Amar, or behemat, so Rava will say, we're still stuck with the tachash thing for just a moment, we're going to come back to it. Rava Amar, or behemat tamea, dimetame ba'ol hames mehacha. So Rava says, I'm going to explain to you how we know that the skin, even of a non-kosher animal, contracts tumas ohal. We learn it from here, disanya, or ol ba'or, riba or behema tamea. So we'll say here the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tzaraas. The Torah says, o bishasi o ba'orei, right? We spoke about this yesterday already. Then it comes to Tzaraas, even if the little bit of negav Tzaraas is in the warp or the woof, is in the crisscross fabric of the item, it becomes tameh. O ba'or, So interestingly enough, what the Gemara picks up on is the following. It could have just said, or. Why does it say, be'or, riba? That must come to include something additional. What's the additional thing that it comes to include? Or behema tamea. So the Gemara learns out from the fact that it could have just said, or, could have just said skins, but instead it says, be'or. The O itself is mosif. It comes to include something additional. It says, Rava, what does it come to include? The skin of an non-kosher animal, that also becomes tameh. Vishalaka biyad koin, and furthermore something, look at Rashi, vishalaka biyad koin, mishereo biyad koin nas enego mitzchil lohaya nega. It also comes to include something that was originally shown to the koin, and it was clean when the Kohen saw it, but then it developed a nega afterwards. Meaning when you read the Pesukim, it almost sounds like that in order for a particular garment to be declared Tameh, or a particular item to become Tameh, the nega has to exist before the Kohen sees it. But if it doesn't exist before the Kohen sees it, maybe it's not Tameh. Kamashmala, no, that even if it develops after the Kohen sees it, the item still becomes Tameh. Katsatz mikulan va'asa achas mehen minayim. What happens if you take a little bit of all these different materials and make something larger out of it? Take a look at Rashi. Katsatz mikulan mikala ha'amurim b'pasev v'chibren yachan. Now remember, the Torah, when speaking about tzaras, speaks about pishtim, wool, flax, leather, anything you make from leather. So how do I know that if I go ahead and I take a little piece of each of these things and stitch it together into one large garment, one large item, and it contracts tzaras, that it still becomes tamei? Talmud Lomar, O b'chomeleches ar. Therefore the Torah says, or with any type of handiwork of the leather. So Bosai, the point that Rava says over here is, you see from this pasuk, either from the O b'or, or O b'chomeleches ar, that even the hide, the skin of a non-kosher animal, is subject to tumas ohel if it's used for a roof. The ikal mifrach, but one could go ahead and raise a pircha. So the point that Rava wants to make over here is, the same way that the skin of a non-kosher animal is subject to the laws of tzaras, so it's also subject to the laws of tumas ohel. That's his logic. Once you become tummy with tzaras, you can become tummy with tumas ohel as well. The Gemara says, well, not so fast, because ikal mifrach malin igam shekin shesi va'arif tummy bohem. So the Gemara says, but you can't necessarily bring a raya from tzaras, because tzaras has its own interesting chumrah, which is what? That even a tiny little spot in the shesivar, in the warp, in the wolf, could go ahead and make an item tame. That's a unique chumrah by tzaraz. So just because you can prove that a non-kosher animal hide can become tame by tzaraz, doesn't automatically mean that therefore you could assume that it also becomes tame tumas ohel. Elo gomer mishratzim. Rather, says the Gemara, we learn it out from tumas shratzim, tumah of creepy, crawly things. Disanyo, or, when the pasuk says or, this is talking about, again, if the dead sheretz comes in contact with a hide, or, eini ela or behema tahora. I only know that the Torah is at least initially referring to the hide of a kosher animal, or behema tmei minai. How do I know that it refers to the skin of a non-kosher animal as well? Talmud lomar, o, or. Therefore, the pasuk says o, or, again, same the o. The o comes to include something different. And or something additional. And the additional thing that it's coming to include is the hide of a non-kosher animal. So the Gemara says, one second, the eagle of Mifrach, but you could raise a question. But Shratzim also has its own unique chumrah, which is what Rav Ozai, that even if you have a teeny, tiny shirt, like we spoke about yesterday, the size of a lentil, it conveys tumah. So the Gemara says, so therefore, again, maybe the idea that the skin of a non-kosher animal becoming Tameh is dafka related to the chumrah nature of Shratzim. But just because it becomes Tameh Tumas Shratzim doesn't automatically assume that you could say that it becomes Tameh Tumas Ohel. To which the Gemara says, Negoyim Yochichu, oh, we could prove it from Tzaras. But then the Gemara says, V'chazra Din, and this matter keeps going around and around, meaning Rabosai, that the truth is, although what we see is the following. Now, what at least good news is, we've proven that the hide of the skin of a non-kosher animal does become tummy from tzaras, can become tummy from tzaras, and can become tummy from shratzim. Right? Now, we were tempted to say that once you could prove one of those two things, that shows that you could also go ahead and say that it should become tummy tumas ohel. To which the Gemara said, not necessarily, because both shratzim and nigoim have their own unique chumras. So just because you could prove that the hide of a non-kosher animal becomes tameh in one of these situations doesn't automatically mean you could apply it to tumas ohel. To which the Gemara says, v'chazer den, the matter keeps going around and around. Lo ri'izeh k'rizeh, v'lo ri'izeh k'rizeh. The truth is, both negoim and shratzim are dissimilar to each other and to tumas ohel. Zeh atzara shava shebahen, she'or tameh bahen, v'asa or behema tmeh k'or behema tahora. So I'll say the only common denominator that exists, I'll say, is that in both of these cases, of shratzim and negoim, the skin of a non-kosher animal becomes tameh, and in that respect, the skin of a non-kosher animal is given the same status as the skin of a kosher animal. So now once I have that paradigm, I want to apply that paradigm, I want to apply that common denominator to olamis, and say and say she'or tamei bo. I'm sorry. Afani avi olamis she'or tamei bo v'naase bo or behema tmeya ko'or behema tahora. And Rava will say, therefore, the argument that I'll make is that once you've established this idea, then number one, the skin of a non-kosher animal can become tamei. That's number one. And therefore, we've treated the skin of a non-kosher animal like a kosher animal. Therefore, I will apply that logic to Tumas Ohel and say that, number one, in Tumas Ohel, if you have a roof that's made of skin, right, kosher, right, skin, then it becomes Tameh. And kosher skin, non-kosher hide should be equated with kosher hide. To tell you the same way that a roof of kosher animal skin can become Tameh, so to a roof of non-kosher animal skin can become Tameh as well. Amar Li Rava. Amar Li Rava Mi Barnish Rav Ashi. Ikala Mifrach. So Rava Mi Barnish said to Rav Ashi, but you could raise a pirch, you could raise a question on this. Ma la hatara shava shebohen shekin tmein bepachos mikizayis tomar bemeis she'enu matame ela bekizayis. So Rav said, here's the fundamental distinction. That halacha lemaisa, so Rava Mi Barnish says that both Nigoyim and Shratim share another chumra, which is what? That they can become tame even with less than a kizayis. Right, even less than a kizayis. But however, when it comes to a mace, halacha lemaisa, a mace only conveys tuma if there's a kizayis amount of mace. Right, so if you only have, let's say, a little tiny piece of flesh of mace, that will not go ahead and convey tuma. This is different than bones. Bones have a different halacha than flesh. In order for flesh of a mace to convey tuma, it requires a kizayis. Ela amar Rava Mi Barnish. So Rava Mi Barnish therefore says the following: Asya bekav chomer minosa shall izin. So the Gemara says like this. Rather, I'll tell you like this. We'll learn it out from a Kal v'chomer, from the covering made of goat hair. She'ein mitame, from covering made from goat hair. She'ein mitame binigoyim, mitame po'ol hames. So interestingly enough, if you have a garment made of goat hair, it does not become tame through tzaras. We'll see why in just a little bit. Actually, the Gemara alluded to this already earlier, but it does not become tamei through tzaras. However, mitamei ba'oel mace. But it does become tamei if what? If it's a roof on top of a structure in which a mace is inside. Therefore, it says Rav Mi Barnish, or behemet tmeya shemitamei b'negoyim. Ain't no din shemitame ba'ol ha'mes. So Rav Mi Barnish makes a very interesting argument. He says, if when it comes to, let's say, a roof of goat hair, so goat hair does not become tame with tzaras, but it does become tame if it serves as a roof on top of a mace. So too, therefore, a roof made of non-kosher animal hide, which is subject to the laws of tzaras, should certainly become tame if it serves as a roof on top of a mace. Does become tamei. That's learned that from the Mishkan.
Is that
a focus
on the Mishnah, or is it just an explanation of the Mishnah, or is it only Pishtan?
Say that once more.
The Mishnah says that only Pishtan is
tumas olah. Only Pishtan as a Dabra Yotze Mina Eitz. Right, so Pishtan is the only example of a Dabra Yotze Mina Eitz that becomes tamei. Right, so it's not saying that other things don't become tamei. So normally plant and tree products don't become tame. Pishtan does.
Becomes tame that we learned from the Pasuk in the Mishkan is because there are coverings on top of their goat hair. But when you don't have the goat hair,
No. No, because it's already called the cover even before anything else is put on top of it. That's the point. Its identity of a cover is forged already when it's put on top of it, not necessarily when you put everything else on top of it.
So the Gemara.
All right, also let's go. Let's go a little bit weiter. You'll say it once more.
You said the covering in the Ohel is Pishtan and Sever.
Yeah.
So why is that what we learn? Because that's a very specific reference. So why is it that any Pishtan becomes Tomei rather than Pishtan with six and the mixed breath?
No, we discount that. We said that's not the case. The Gemara floated that idea that it should only be Pishtan like the Mishkan. And the Gemara says, Kamashmalan, Ohel Reba. The fact that the Torah says the word Ohel twice indicates that it is any type of Pishtan, not just a type of Pishtan or Mishkan. So the Gemara says, Vaiter. The Eloha, the Tani Rav Yosef, Lohokshiru b'melecha shamayim Eloar behema tahora bilvad. So I will say, listen to this. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. So I will say, just here's what we have so far. So we have over here so far is Pishtan's becoming Tameh. We learned that out from Ohel. Right? Animal skins are becoming tamei because ultimately we compared the upper covering of the Mishkan to the bottom covering of the Mishkan. Or behema tamei is the subject of some dispute. We have both Ravas, plain Rava and Rava Mibarnish, both saying that or behema tamei does become tamei, but both learning it out from two different places. So ultimately, first Rava learns it out from the fact that although you can't learn it out from the that because or behema tamei becomes tamei from the goyim, becomes tamei from shvatim, although you can't learn that out individually, but once you bring them together, it creates a paradigm that or behema tamei becomes tamei. So too by all amei, so say that as well. Rava Mibarnish doesn't like that comparison, and Rava Mibarnish makes a kavachomer. The kavachomer is from the roof of goat hair. Or I should say a govern or goat hair. Goat hair doesn't become tummy by negoim, but it does become tummy from tumas meis. Therefore, again, a roof of animal skin, of tummy animal skin, which does become tummy by negoim, should certainly become tummy from tumas meis as well. Okay, so the elohad tani Rav Yosef lohokshur b'malachas shamayim ela or behema tahora bilvad. So the Gemara says, well, one second. But according to what Rav Yosef said, that halacha lemaisa for the Mishkan, you are only able to use kosher animals. So lamai hilchasa. What do we learn from all of this? Now look at Rashi for just a moment. Ela hadatani Rav Yosef, kevan dirabinan or behema tamei li ola meis. Since we go ahead and now we explain, according to at least everyone so far, both Ravas, that you could use, and not that you could use, but that the skin of behema tamei does become tamei ola meis. Hadatani Rav Yosef lamai hilchasa, my dahava hava ilav lamelef mine lutoma. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. If at the end of the day you were not able to go ahead and use the skin of a non-kosher animal for the Mishkan, then what exactly do we learn from this whole idea that the skin of non-kosher animals are mekabel tumah? Right? All of this links back to the Mishkan. So if you can't use it for the Mishkan, then what exactly is the take-home message? To which the Gemara says to tell you the following. Litfilin. So at least initially it comes to tell us that you can't go ahead and use non-kosher animals for tefillin. So therefore when Rav Yosef said, Lohokshru Melechashim Ela Or Behema Tahora Bilvad, that you could only use for Melechashim kosher animals, the Gemara suggests that Rav Yosef's statement has importance for tefillin. You can only use kosher animals for tefillin. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Tefillin behedjik sibu. Tefillin is explicit. The Torah says, Leman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha. The Torah says that when talking about tefillin, that the Torah of Hashem should be in your mouth. Min hamutar beficha. So the only thing you can make tefillin from is what? That which you are permitted to consume, kosher animals. Ela li'oran. Rather, what it means to say is for the leather of the tefillin. So the Gemara says, now, what the leather of the tefillin seems to be referring to, Rabbi Osai, is the bias, is the batin. Right? Not the rituals, the batin. The structures, the things themselves, the house, the harshios. So the Gemara says, but one second. V'homer abaye shin shel tefillin. Halacha l'moshe misinai. But one second, the Gemara says that the shin of tefillin, meaning the idea that we have the shin protrude from the Shal Rosh, is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. It's Sinaitic in nature. And therefore, the idea that it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai also tells us that it has to be made from kosher animals as well. Take a look at Rashi. Shin Shal Tfilin, Sheyeha or Nikmat Mibachutz, Gimel Kamat V'Doma L'Shin, V'Ratzua Nikshares Kimin Dalith, V'yesh Ratzua Kfufa Kimin Yod, D'Hainu Shakai, D'Cheivan D'Oza Shein Nichtav D'Kmatin Shalo, Moser B'Ficha B'Inamaf O'Mikra Nafik. So the verse is like this. Many of the things that we have with tefillin, right? How we tie the knots, the fact that the shin must jut out, are all halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara, the Rashi, therefore suggests once upon the halacha l'moshe misinai, they also fall under the umbrella of leman tiyeh Torah Hashem beficha, that they must also be made from kosher animals. Therefore, what is the importance of Rav Yosef's statement? Ela lekarchan b'saran u'letofran begidon. Oh, you know what it refers to? If the first of the fact of that we know that if you've ever seen the inside of tefillin, the parshios themselves are actually tied together with hair of a kosher animal. Similarly, the batim themselves are stitched up, not just with anything, but with the sinews of an animal. So the Gemara says, we learn from here, or from Rav Yosef's statement, that the hair that's used, or the sinews that are used, must come from kosher animals. So the Gemara says, one second, Hanami halacha l'moshe misinaihu. But we already know that from halacha l'moshe misinai. This sanya, tefillin mirubaos halacha l'moshe misinai. The fact that tefillin have to be square, that's halacha l'moshe misinai. Nichrechu b'saron, v'nitferos begidon, And similarly, the idea that the parshos have to be tied with the hair of the kosher animal, and to go ahead and the batim have to be sewn closed with kosher sinai. So also halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. So also we're trying to figure out what's the importance or what's the halacha l'maaseh ramification of Rav Yosef's statement for us. Because Rav Yosef said to us, we could only use the skin of a kosher animal for melechas shamayim. So the Gemara says, rather, it must mean ela l'ritzuos. It must mean for the straps. Right, that for the straps that we use to tie the tefillin on us, Rav Yosef is saying those are not part of the halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. But again, Rav Yosef is saying that you can only use the skin of a kosher animal for it. V'ha'amar Rav Yitzchak, ritzuos shchoros, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. But Rav Yitzchak says the fact that the ritzua has to be black, that's halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. To which the Gemara says, Nehi de gemiri shchoros, tahoros mi gemiri. The halacha l'moshe mi-sinai might tell us that they have to be black, but the halacha l'moshe mi-sinai did not tell us that they have to be tahor. Okay, so my haviyala. So the Gemara says, okay, so what is the bottom line? My haviyala. My haviyala, the tacha, shai bimi moshe. So we'll say, here's what we have so far. So halacha l'maisa, we know that flax, as the Mishnah pointed out, flax is unique in that it's the only item that comes from a plant that is able to contract tumas ohel. Every other plant or plant item cannot contract tumas ohel. Pishtan does, based on the gzera shava ohel to mishkan. We know that or behema tahora, skin of a kosher animal becomes tame, because that was the upper skins of the mishkan, and the upper roof is compared to the lower roof of pishtan. And now we also know that or behema tamea, the skin of a non-kosher animal also could contract tumas ohel. And again, we have one of two ways of learning that, either according to Rava or from Rava of Barnish. Now the Gemara wants to go back and say, you know what, let's talk a little bit more about this tachash. Because the Gemara on Amud Aleph closed down the conversation by saying, tachash is a kosher animal. How do you know that tachash is a kosher animal? Essentially because no non-kosher animals were used in the Mishkan. So the Gemara just says, we're not totally satisfied with that, because we don't know what a tachash, we've never heard of this animal before. So yes, you could back into the logic of saying it's a kosher animal because he's used in the Mishkan, but let's have a little bit more of a conversation about it. So my havi Allah, the tachash shayim mimosha. So what's the bottom line conclusion with this tachash that was in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu? Omer Rabbi Eloi, Omer Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Omer Hayi Rabbi Meir, tachash shahayi bimei Moshe, beria bifnei atzma hayra. That the tachash that lived in the times of Moshe was an entity unto itself. Did not decide immin chayahu, immin behemahu. Was it a type of chaya? Was it a type of behema? Now we'll say, what does that matter? The only reason that matters is because we know, we've already spoken about this earlier, that there's a mitzvah of kisei adam, a mitzvah of covering blood. Right, the mitzvah of covering blood applies to chayos and not to behemos. All right, so the Gemara says, v'keren achas haisala b'mitzcho, and it was a one-horned animal. It had one horn on its forehead. Ulefi sha'a nizdamin lo lemoshe va'assa mimeno mishkan. And the animal was only created for the times of Moshe Rabbeinu in order to make the covering of the mishkan from its hide. V'nignaz. And after Moshe Rabbeinu used it for the mishkan, the animal literally means was hidden away, which means that it was gone. Well, I just want to point out, by the way, many of the Mepharshim point out of it, that you see, it's interesting, we think that extinction is a bad thing, right? We think that extinction, it goes against the laws of nature. Many of the Mepharshim point out that you see from here, it's not true. That there is a concept of extinction in the world when the world no longer needs a particular species. So the Gemara points out over here that the Tachash was dafka created for the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, for, I guess, going back to what we saw before, for its multicolored hide that was to be used as the covering of the Mishkan, and after its use, Nignas literally was hidden away, meaning you're not going to find the Tachash. No more Tachashim. Now the Gemara says, "Midika Amar Karen Achas Haisala B'Mitzchol." Now the fact that the Gemara said before that it had one horn, Shvamina Tarhu. See from here that it's a tar animal. So Rabbi say this goes to the idea that the Rashi points out, according to the Gemara elsewhere, that horned animals are usually assumed to be kosher. That is Chazaka that animals with horns are usually considered kosher. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Shor Shehikriv Adam Arishon, the ox that Adam Arishon gave as a carbon, Karen Achas Haisala B'Mitzchol. It had one horn on its forehead. Shene'emar, because the pasuk says, again, according to the pasuk over here from Tehillim, Vaseit v'sitav la'ashem mishor par makrin makrin mafris. That HaKadosh Baruch, right, it was better for HaKadosh Baruch Hu mishor par makrin, it was horned, mafris, it was hoofed. So the Gemara says, Vaseit la'ashem mishor makrin mafran. Makrin, tarti mashma. But the Gemara says the word makrin means it was horned. Horned usually means it had two horns. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Nachar Bar Yitzchak Mikeren Ksiv." You don't have to read it as Makrin. You can read it as Mikeren, which means that it had one horn. So the Gemara says, "V'lifshot minei demin behemo." So why don't you learn out from here that this is a type of behema, meaning the fact that the Gemara is comparing it to the shore part of Adam Arishon, Kevan Diika Keresh demin chayohu. To which the Gemara says, well, the fact that there's another animal called the keresh, which is a single-horned deer, so because you have another type of animal that's also single-horned, and it's called the chayo, therefore it's not clear if the tachash itself is considered to be a chayo or considered to be a behema. So both say the point the Gemara is saying over here is the reason why there's so much ambiguity about the tachash is because halacha lemaisa, we no longer have this species. Why do we no longer have this species? Because it was only created for the times of Moshe Rabbeinu to allow Moshe to make from its skin the roof of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, excuse me. Let's read a little bit weiter. Psilas habeged Mishnah. Psilas habeged shekipla velo hivhava. If you have, psilas habeged means if you have a wick, if you have a wick that's made from a beged, that's made from a garment, shekipla. Kipla means you folded it over. So you took a little piece of the beged, or you took the beged itself, you folded it over to make it into a wick. Velohiv hava, but you did not singe it. You did not singe it. So your Rebbe said one of the ways that they would designate something as a wick, or prepare something to be a wick, is they would singe it. Because if you singe it, then what? It allows it to light better, to catch on fire better the next time. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says it's tame and you can't use it for hadlakas neros. Rabbi Akiva Omer tahorihi umad likinba. Rabbi Akiva says that halacha lemaisa it's tahor and you can light with it. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Tameyahi debeget klihu umekabel tuma im hayas shalosh al shalosh. The kipol in mevatla mitoras beget ho veloiv hava. So according to Rabbi Elazar, the Mishnah says like this. According to Rabbi Elazar, just because you folded it does not take away from the fact that it's still a beged. If it's a beged, therefore what? It's mekabel tuma. It's a kabel tuma. Rabbi Akiva seems to hold that no, once you take a beged and you fold it into a wick, it loses its status as beged. It becomes a wick, and you could light with it. So let's just read two more lines of Moshe. This some of the Indian tuma ba'a pligi. So I understand when it comes to tuma, the machlog is Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. The Rabbi Elazar suffer kipol eno moil. Ubimil se kamaisa kaima. Rabbi Elazar holds Rabbi Elazar that a beged is a beged is a beged. And just because you go out and you take it and you fold it, as long as, now if you singed it, then it's clear that it's no longer a beged, it's become a wick. But if you just folded it, it's still called a beged, and therefore it's still susceptible to tuma. Rabbi Akiva, on the other hand, holds, kipul moil ubituli batil. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva holds that no, once you go ahead and fold it, you've essentially what? You've negated its identity as a beged, and now it's called a wick, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. Ela le'ingin hadlaka b'may pligi, but halacha lemaisa, why are they arguing in terms of whether or not it can be used for as a wick for Shabbos or Yom Tov? Meaning, I understand the machlokes in Tumah, but what would possibly be the problem with using it for a wick? To be continued tomorrow.